Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Starlight tonight. So we've made Hart your artist of the day. Don't mind if we do. Joan Jett is your opener tonight. That'd be a hell of a show. And by the way, jam.
For what, the whole thing?
No, for that song.
Oh, like that song? Yeah, that's a jam.
Nothing at all? That's a jam.
Of course it's a jam.
Yeah. This hour, by the way, your keyword is preview. Preview, if I have to spell it, you're not worthy of $1,000. Text that into 72881.
P-R-E-V-I-E-W.
Thank you. And you're in the running for $1,000. Please do not text and drive, and message and data rates may apply. Story here from Fox News, so...
You know it's
I
true.
I didn't read it.
The...
good one.
Thank you.
That was actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The maker of Fortnite may face a class action lawsuit in Canada after two parents of teenage sons alleged last week that the company purposely designed the multiplayer video game to be as addictive as cocaine, according to reports. The Montreal-based law firm, Calix Legal, filed a motion in Quebec Superior Court Thursday on behalf of two parents who approached the firm separately about their 10 and 15-year-old sons, who they claim developed a severe dependence on the game, according to the USA Today. The suit, which has yet to be approved by the court, seeks to hold the U.S.-based video game publisher Epic Games, as well as its Canadian affiliate based in British Columbia, accountable for using psychologists and statisticians to, quote, develop the most addictive game possible.
Now, before you roll your eyes and say, oh, really, video games are addictive, of course they are.
Of course they're not.
According to the lawsuit, they hired psychologists to help them make it as addictive as it could be. They hired people who understand how the brain works. And what is it in your happy reward center place?
Dopamine.
That makes you, when you're playing a certain game, want to keep playing, want to spend money playing. What can we do to
trigger the dopamine release in your brain?
Trigger that to maximize profits. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think anyone is saying willy-nilly it's addictive. What they're saying in the lawsuit is they hired experts specifically to make it as addictive as possible for the best monetary benefit to the company.
But here's another way to look at it, Dana, if I may. Maybe, and we don't know for a fact that they hired psychologists and statisticians
right
to do these things. These are alleged by the parents who clearly want money because they don't have the parental wherewithal
to just remove it from the house.
Right. To tell their kids you don't get to play Fortnite 15 hours a day, you idiot.
Unless you're making $3 million.
So,
except that kid. Then
yeah,
he
that
can't.
Kid can play it all he wants. But maybe... If they did hire a psychologist or psychologists and statisticians, are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And statisticians, would it not be past the realm of possibility that they may have hired them to tell them, the game makers, How do we ensure that people have as much fun and stay on this game as long as possible?
I think that's a nice way of looking at it. I think these...
That's going to be the defense,
game by the way. Makers are in the business of making money.
Sure, of course they are.
It is a legal pastime and product.
Mm-hmm.
They hired people when designing these games to figure out what exactly is it that will make people play longer and pay more. Where I don't buy this argument from a mom or a dad is exactly back with what you said. All you have to do is remove the gaming machine from your home.
Yeah.
This isn't like oxygen that you have to live or food or water. Take it out of the damn house. Problem solved.
And aren't all video games, TV shows, songs, whatever you want to talk about, engineered in such a way to make you want to listen more?
Let me bring it a little bit closer to home. Do we not hire in the radio business
consultants
and program directors to tell you and me and everybody who's involved in this radio station what to do in the hopes that people will listen longer, that people will crave, not necessarily be addicted, because if you're addicted to this show, you're an idiot. But
and we love you.
Wow.
There is no, I cannot tell you how much money is made, especially in television consulting, when they fly people in to tell you to move their anchors around from this monitor over here to that monitor.
Cut your hair.
Did you not have a consultant tell you what colors to wear?
Yes, do a 7-day forecast instead of an 8.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's really big right now to do a 3-day quick cast. Well, they don't know. They pay one guy walking in the front door of one of the stations to say one thing, and you pay him something else, and he walks in the door of another station and says something else.
But the goal is to keep the viewer watching that TV news program just a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So why is it out of the norm, God forbid, that Fortnite, as they were developing their game, hired people to tell them, how can we make people play this game longer? Not just kids.
It's a great analogy.
Because kids are not the only ones who play Fortnite. But the goal of the Fortnite creators was not to create some game that you would play once or twice and then just say, you know, it's boring. It was designed to be a game that you would want to play over and over again. By the way, to the text who just wrote, proud idiot right here, thank you, you made me laugh inside. That was funny.
Look up and you will be astounded how many, especially women, play Candy Crush, and I play it before I go to bed. And Sam and I were talking about this in the newsroom. Do you know what that game figured out? And I guarantee you they brought in psychologists to do it.
Never played it,
they
so I don't
did
know.
Something so revolutionary and stupid, but it worked. And I guarantee you the reason it worked is they had psychologists telling him it would work. The game will block you from playing if you lose a certain number of times in a row. And it says, it puts a clock on it. Sorry, you lost. Can't come back for another 32 minutes. Unless...
You pay.
Yep.
And they have made... Look up, because my computer still doesn't work. Look up how many millions of dollars they rake in. Because we are so impatient in America. When someone says to you, you've got to sit this one out for 24 minutes and 36 seconds. Well, no, I don't. Hand me my credit card.
Preliminary glance. Candy Crush Jelly Saga alone... $90 million.
$90 million, and the game is free. Just to play the game, it's free,
and that's just one of them. That's 6%.
To keep playing it costs you money.
And someone in some room said years ago, what you need to do is bar people from playing, stop them from playing. And I'm sure there were other people in the room that said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Why would we stop people from playing? It worked.
Here we go. The total for the entire year across all of the different Candy Crush iterations last year boiled down to $4.2 million per day. About $1.5 billion.
Oh, my God.
I am in the wrong business.
Yeah, you are.
I cannot believe you said per day.
I am a sucker for doing this.
576-7798. I hate it when people sue something claiming it's addictive. Because if that's the case, I'm suing Absolut Vodka. I am suing Coors Light. I am suing everybody for selling me a product.
Trees that generate oxygen.
For selling me a product they knew was addictive. And I got addicted to it. Give me a break. Grow up, America. If your 10-year-old is addicted to Fortnite, remove the game. Or here's a novel idea. Try being a parent.
Buy him a football.
Tell the kid you get to play for 1 hour tonight, and that's it. And then do this thing called parenting. It's really weird, but very rewarding. Nerds. 576-7798. From the text line, 3572. All right, Scott, but there is a difference between something being addicted by nature, like drugs, alcohol, caffeine, cigarettes, etc., and a company engineering something specifically to be very addictive. 3572, you're right. However, is there not a very thin line between a company designing a video game to be very addictive and a video game to be very entertaining? And
yeah.
And how do you know the difference? Because when you design...
Oh, I'll tell you. Money. Entertaining is... I watched Friends last night, and I've seen it twice, but it was still funny, and it made me laugh. Addictive is... Candy Crush makes $4.2 million per day. That's where it crosses into addiction. And I don't know if these kids were spending money on this gaming system or if the parents are just saying...
they're playing it too much.
You're playing way too often. But if the kids are spending money on it, and I know this from experience, they have to have your... bank information or credit card information.
Then don't give it to
plugged
them.
Into the system that even allows them to buy whatever it is you buy on Fortnite, which again goes back to take the damn machine out of your house.
But if we're going to sue things for what we think is addictive, I'm suing the makers, writers, producers, editors, and directors of the TV show 24.
You did binge that.
Because I took 3 days off work to binge watch the entire second season of 24.
Worth it.
I also am going to sue Perry Farrell and anybody else who is involved in Jane's Addiction's album, Nothing Shocking, in 1989,
because I
was addicted to that
record. I think music and television shows are different because you are not continually forking over money.
I was surrendering vacation days to binge watch 24.
Well, that's on you.
Well, no, it's on them. Dan in North...
Hello?
I caught that, whoever did that.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So, I wonder how long ago they started using spokespeople in ads. Like, Michael Jordan sold shoes. You don't think they threw him in there because it made the shoes more addictive? People wanted the shoes because Michael Jordan wore the shoes and he's the greatest basketball player ever. What's the difference?
I think what we need to do here, Dan, and you bring up an interesting point, and it gave me a thought. There are two A's here. There's addictive and appealing.
Right. And shoes are appealing.
And to use Michael Jordan to sell your shoes, he is appealing to an audience that says, hey, you want to jump a little bit higher? You want to play basketball just a little bit better? You got to wear my shoes. There's a difference between that and being addictive. Nobody says, oh, God, if I don't put Air Jordans on right now, I'm just going to lose my mind.
The difference with these games, and you know this, when you and I were growing up, did you guys play board games in your household? We did. You could play
sometimes.
Monopoly, and that would be fun, or you could play Sorry.
Risk
years ago, and it's kind of a one and done. You didn't keep going back. I've got to play Monopoly again with my family. Please sit down and play with me. These are designed to make you keep coming back, and here's why. When Parker Brothers sells a board game, it is a one-point sale of point of purchase. That's it. They sell that thing for $14, and it's done. They're not making any more money off of you playing Monopoly. You could play Monopoly one time, or you could play 10,000 times. They don't care. They got their $14. The difference is with these games today is you pay for the game up front. Let's say it's $60, whatever. And then they keep dinging you and dinging you and dinging you. And that's where the psychology comes in, because they want you to pull that crank again on that slot machine.
Well, but let me take you back 30 years and give you another analogy. You're right. When you would buy Risk or Monopoly, there was a $14 point of purchase, and that was it. But what about arcade games, Dana? You would put a quarter in to play Galaga.
You don't remember Pac-Man Fever?
I know. You would put a quarter in to play Galaga, and then they would come out of nowhere, and they'd crush you, and they'd kill you. And the only way to play again was to put another quarter in the machine.
Yeah.
Were those games addictive? Could people sue Galaga? Defender?
We would have to look it up and see if they did. Because it wasn't that it was Pac-Man when it came out.
Pac-Man Fever, yeah.
Were camping out in arcades to play that game.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I got a pocket full of quarters and I'm headed to the arcade. I don't have a lot of money, but I'm bringing everything I made. I got a callus on my finger and my shoulder's hurting too.
This is so bad that I remember it so clearly.
Just as soon as it's really bad.
Whatever, that's awesome.
Do you remember? I think it's hard to remember what a big deal that was and how it really changed and brought tons of business to arcades because people specifically went in for that one thing.
Not me.
And it was definitely designed to be addictive.
I played Galaga and Defender.
Listen to this. From the familiar waka, 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 waka of that little yellow circle to the permanently greasy video arcade joystick, Pac-Man holds a special place in many people's memory. Pac-Man, or in its original Japanese version, Pakuman, P-A-K-K-U Man, was developed by, do you remember the company?
Once you say it, I'll know it.
I know. Waka, waka, waka. Namco.
Namco, that's right.
Released in October of 1980. I'm trying to find. They sold more than 400,000 machines within its first 2 years. Here we go. But Pac-Man was not as innocent as it seems. Because it was family friendly, right? The game was built to be addictive. If you were good enough, Pac-Man would continue indefinitely, leading some gamers to obsessively overplay. Martin Amis, scholar and critic, describes the game's sheer compulsion in a book he wrote called Invasion of Space Invaders. I have seen bloodstains on the Pac-Man joystick. I know a young actress with a case of Pac-Man hand so severe, her index finger looked like a section of blood pudding. Yet she still played and played through tears of pain. The gaming addiction has spawned essays and critical analyses of Pac-Man. It's seen as encouraging the technological rave and color of a drug-consuming society. Huh.
I don't know what that
means. Like, were people, like, taking, like, no-dose or something to keep playing? I love that noise. And you're dead.
That's Galaga right there.
And you're dead.
That was my game. Loved the Galaga. Oh my God, that would throw you into a epileptic shock.
Do you feel like excited when you hear that? Like you want to play?
Well, no, but if the game was around, I would play it, but it doesn't like, I don't go into like hives or anything.
I think people, when they heard that, that one, you would get excited because you know you've got a game coming. There's a new one coming.
All right. God. Well, then let's sue Pac-Man.
All I'm
saying, because I lost a lot of money on that stupid game,
is the issue over addiction is not a new one. People were saying that it was a compulsion in 1980.
Then let's sue Pac-Man.
point that you're bleeding on the joystick, you have bigger problems.
But to, back to the original story that we were talking about, this one happened to be out of Canada. I think there's a bigger problem here that we're not addressing. If your kid is, quote, addicted to Fortnite, it's because, not because Fortnite's addictive, it's because you suck as a parent.
Well, but someone wrote in, there are some kids who are practicing for hours in order to enter the tournaments and win money. And so then there is another pot of gold at the end of that rainbow that if you keep playing and keep playing and keep playing, maybe someday you could be good enough to win whatever.
Here's a novel idea. Make your kid go read some books and they'll make $3 million another way.
Yeah. Set limits.
Yeah. Yes. I just think it's ridiculous.
I don't think the lawsuit's going to go anywhere. I really don't.
I find it laughable at best. Sure, these games might be addictive. They're designed that way. The designer of the game wants you to keep playing as much as possible.
Look this up. Someone wrote in, gambling is addicting. No one's suing casinos. Yep. And that is a better point than this Fortnite malarkey. What if you lose your house to your gambling addiction, to your problem? Your wife has done nothing wrong. You're the gambling addict. She comes home one day and there's a foreclosure sign on the front door.
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone ever sued the casinos? Because I am telling you that I strongly believe is an addiction.
Yes. Yes, there
people
have been
have sued,
and to what end?
Well, the argument has been because they have the list that you can either be put on or put yourself on that you're not allowed in.
Yeah,
someone
1-800 bets off.
Right.
Whatever,
yeah. Yeah, someone who is on the do not allow list goes in and gambles, loses a bunch of money, and then they sue, saying, "Hey, you shouldn't let me in the first place. I'm on the list."
Well, that's stupid.
I don't know that anyone's ever successfully sued a casino for a gambling addiction.
You don't think it's because they've got lawyers out the wazoo?
You think?
That have every possible defense ready at their avail.
Yeah.
Go ahead and sue us with your little two-bit goofy little outfitted suit lawyer that you got from downtown. Go ahead.
Make
our day.
I'm going to look it up.
Sue us, Argosy.
Right.
And see what happens to you. We will bury you in so much paperwork and litigation, you will never, ever be able to dig yourself out. And you know what? They have every right. They have every right to defend themselves.
Because you drove yourself.
That's
right. You
got
in a car.
They didn't drive you there and force you to whip out your wallet and throw nickels and dimes and quarters into a machine. You did it yourself.
Okay, here we go. Problem gambler files a $20 million lawsuit against a casino in Atlantic City.
So he can gamble $20 million more dollars.
She was an ambitious lawyer and TV commentator who started going to Atlantic City to relax and soon was getting high roller treatment that included limousines whisking her to the resort.
Did they throw her in the limousine?
Well, her gambling spun out of control. She would go days at a time at the tables, not eating or sleeping, brushing her teeth with disposable wipes so she didn't have to get up. Her losses totaled nearly $1 million.
She used a catheter?
And then I have to look up the outcome of the case, although experts said it would be difficult to prove, but did provide a detailed window into the life of a problem gambler.
Yeah, she used those catheters that you see on your late-night news TV.
I mean, God forbid that a casino treats a high roller with a certain level of accommodation.
Yeah, most of these cases that I'm seeing are from 2007, 2009. There's one gambler who lost $127 million.
Sorry.
And sued the casino.
Do you use catheters? Are you using the catheter that's really best for you?
Yeah! Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love putting that thing there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
don't forget about the colostomy bags, too.
Yeah. I would give Coloplast for the design of the Mio more than an attaboy. They'd get a woo!
What's it called? Coloplast?
Coloplast is the maker of the Mio ostomy bag.
I would give Coloplast for the design of the Mio more than Attaboy. They'd get a woo-hoo!
I ain't got no intestines, but woo!
I strive in my life to be as excited about anything as that woman is about her colostomy bag.
About losing her intestines and having to use a colostomy bag?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. I fly in airplanes and I don't pee properly.
Do you use catheters? Are you using the catheter that's really best for you?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the Kool-Aid man broke through the wall with a fistful of catheters.
I've clicked on about a half dozen stories here, and I've only found one where they won against the casino.
Because
it was
of the addiction?
Austria. Yeah.
In Austria?
In Austria.
Okay. Wow.
Good day, mate.
That's Australia.
Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for everyone saying gambling's addicting and no one is suing casinos, that is not accurate.
Okay, can I just real quick say something? This has been driving me nuts for the past 5 minutes. Stop saying addicting. The word is addictive.
Addictive. It's a V, not an N. You are absolutely right. Have I been saying addicting?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ding. Like the noise it makes when you win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Deal me them cards.
Attaboy.
I would give Coloplast for the design of the Mio more than Attaboy. They'd get a woo!
I love that woman. I want to meet her.
Never seems anybody so happy to get colon cancer in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, because I've seen a lot of this on the text line. People are pointing out the other reason this Fortnite lawsuit they don't believe has legs. You do not have to purchase anything for Fortnite. Nothing you buy makes you play better.
I didn't think so.
This is the one where you buy like outfits for your character to wear. It does not make the manufacturer guilty, and there are parental controls parents can turn on.
And somebody points out on the text line, casinos are for adults, video games are for kids, there's your difference. That is patently not true.
It is patently untrue. However, a kid can't go
to a casino.
To a casino.
An adult and a kid can play a video game.
Right, yeah.
But gamers are not exclusively 18 and under.
No. In fact, increasingly, it's the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You need a turd, you call me.
Are we just going to play our greatest hits
we
today?
We might do that today.
Sounds good to me.
We got food coming up.
You need a turd, you call me.
God bless the turd moose lady.
576-7798. Oh, they're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Preview, by the way, is your keyword to cash this hour. Preview. Text that in. You have another 7 minutes at 72881. Are you cats ready to play?
Yes.
Ready.
Let's do a little buzzer check. Will Starrett, you first, please. Loud and clear. Dana Wright, loud and clear.
One.
Game on.
Okay, first 1-5 wins. Your reigning champion is Will Starrett.
Thank you.
Top 6 answers are on the board. Point values are doubled.
Mm-hmm.
Name something you would hate to see when you blow your nose. Dana Wright.
Blood.
Blood is the number one answer on the board. Booger is number 2, by the way. What do you expect to see when you blow your...
What else is left?
Well,
mm-hmm.
That's great. Okay.
An off color would be,
Mm-hmm. We asked 100 single women, if a guy brings his dog along on a date, name something it better not do. Will Starrett.
Use the bathroom on you. Pee or poop
the
on you.
The number 2 answer on the board. Dana Wright, we asked 100 single women for the steal and a second point. If a guy brings his dog along on a date, name something it better not do.
Bite.
Bite is the number 1 answer on the board.
Do you remember that from the Pink Panther? Does your dog bite? The dog bites. And he says, I thought you said your dog didn't bite. That's not my dog.
Okay.
How do you not remember that famous Pink Panther line?
Here we go again. Top 6 answers are on the board. Point values are doubled. Dana Wright, 2 points. Will Starrett at the moment, 0.
Mm-hmm.
Name something that should not be on your lap when you're driving. Mm. Will Starrett.
Your phone.
Is the number 4 answer on the board. Dana for the steal and a third point. Name something that should not be on your lap when you're driving.
I'm going to go with your dog because I see it all the time around town.
Dog is the number two answer on the board.
Let me guess. Number one is child.
That's right.
Yeah, well. Also bad.
Very bad. Almost as bad as my performance in this game.
Well, that's okay. That's okay.
You still come back.
Okay. Top six answers are on the board. Point values are double.
Yes.
Dana, three. Will, zero. Name something that a doctor gives you that might actually make you feel worse. Will Starrett.
The wrong medication.
The wrong medication is the number one answer on the board. That is correct.
Yay.
Medication. What else was on there?
An enema.
Oh, yeah, well.
The bill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's good.
A lecture and a prostate exam.
Okay. Ooh,
moon river.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got the whole fist in there, Doc? We asked 100.
You ever done time?
We could go all day. We asked 100 married men, name something about your wife that you would never make fun of when she's around. Dana Wright.
Her weight.
Her weight is the number one answer on the board.
I would also add a laundry list of things you should not say in front of your wife. But
the other answers were her cooking, her hair, her face, her cleaning skills, or her clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Okay. A woman's warning to men. Do not kiss me if you have this.
Will Starrett. It's me. Bad breath.
Bad breath is the number two answer.
Number two.
Board. Do not kiss me if you have this.
A wife.
Is the number three answer on the
well,
board.
Well, that should be number one.
Will Starrett. You are on the board with 2 points to Dana's four. By the way, herpes was number one.
I knew it.
No! Oh, yeah.
Bad breath was number two. A wife slash skank was number three.
Ouch.
Wow!
A beard was number four. Food on your face or something in your mouth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now the women like the beards.
That one's too easy.
I was going to say, this must have been an older survey.
Yeah. Because women are all about the facial hair right now.
Okay, here's a good one. Mm-hmm. Top six answers are on the board. Point values are doubled. Dana, four. Will Starrett, two. We got to get moving. Name something that men do in public that women should be able to do as well.
Will Starrett.
Will Starrett.
Walk around topless.
Topless is the number one answer on the board.
Dang!
He's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. Name something.
I had an idea.
That's Sam chiming in.
Name something that a wife might drop her dead cheating husband's ashes down. Will Starrett.
The drain.
The drain is the number two answer on the board for the win.
No!
Dana Wright. Name something a wife might drop her cheating husband's ashes down.
The garbage disposal?
The garbage disposal. That is the number four answer on the board. We are tied at four apiece. We got to get moving. We're getting late. Here we go.
This one's for the win.
This is for the win. This is getting exciting.
Yeah, it is.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Name something a bride would be mad that her groom kissed a little too long at the wedding. Dana Wright.
A bridesmaid.
A bridesmaid is the new champion, Dana Wright. His ex was the number two answer on the board. Will, I'm going to give it to you as the former now champion. That was a hell of a comeback.
Thank you.
And a yeoman's effort.
Thank you.
Nice job, my friend. Dana Wright is your new champion of Dana and Parks Family Feud.
I should know that the person who's been married twice would know this more than the person who's never been married.
Boom!
And stay down.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.